This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Welcome back. Thank you for listening and tuning in to this Saturday night edition of Free Talk Live. Free Talk Live is a live call-in radio program, nationally syndicated. We're on some satellite channels somewhere, somehow, and we're also on the internet at freetalklive.com. You can choose how you want to listen.
Sometimes on one local radio station twice at the same time.
Sometimes, yeah. Sometimes we're so good. We even get played twice at the same time. That's right.
Which seems to have been resolved.
It seems to have been resolved. I'm not,
just how much hunger for the content people have.
I'm not 100% sure. A caller called in and was like, hey, it sounds like there's two things playing at the same time. And so I summoned some wizards. They checked some things. I checked some things. And it seems to have been resolved. I can not confirm that, however, but... If you are playing us twice, well, thanks, but also try not to do that. 603-283-6160 is the phone number if you'd like to join us. Before we took a break, we were talking about a scenario where Richie Rich had 1 acre of land. A gang came to take it away from him. He was unable to defend it, and he was like, well, there's nothing I can do.
Well, you can scream, like, I have a right, okay. Right, and it changes nothing.
Or, like, one of the things about property, pre-government, right, let's go to, like, Old West days, right, was that, you know, it was recognized by everybody in the existing community. Oh, that's the Richie Rich Ranch over here.
As it still can be.
And that's the so
whether or not I mow the grass.
If a gang came along and, you know, took your ranch, your 1 acre,
yep.
Right, and you failed to defend it, the rest of the community could still come together and go, hey, look, this gang came from out of town and they took Richie Rich's ranch. Let's all not do any business with him.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Right, et cetera, and so on. So there are things
that can be
done.
But people think that that's impossible in this scenario.
Well, no. If the only thing that is, if the measurement of whether the claim is legitimate or not is simply whether or not they can defend it, then they are now the new owners rightfully.
You know, I think it's
not rightfully. I think they have to defend it. Right.
I think it's both things. Yes. I think both you have to be able to defend it and your community has to recognize that it's yours.
I've said that. That's my whole proposition from the beginning. Right. Rights, property rights in particular, but rights are one of two things, that which everyone agrees upon or that which you can defend against. That's it. That's my claim.
I don't think it's in this case, I don't think it's an or. I think it's both.
If your community recognizes it,
right.
You don't have to defend it because everyone recognizes it.
And here's the difference. My system, we have something that we can ultimately agree upon.
No,
whereas
we don't.
With yours, any time where someone proves that they are more capable of defending that property than the current claimant, then we have to go, oh, well, that's theirs now.
You don't have to go, oh, that's theirs now. You can do what the captain said, come together as a community and take it back.
I have a phrase stuck in my head.
Because they have to defend it.
Because I'm thinking of the Old West, starting up a posse, right?
Regulators!
Yeah, that's where, you know, you and your community get together. Because somebody came and took Richie Rich's ranch, you know, even though he wasn't able to defend it himself, right? We recognize
right.
that's his.
Right.
We recognize him as a valid part of the community, contributing value. So we got to get together now. We got to go over to Richie Rich's property and evict this guy.
And I shouldn't have to mow the grass to make that happen.
And here's why I'm saying you absolutely should. So the reason that I would want to go help him get his ranch back mm-hmm. is because...
he mowed the grass.
Can I finish a sentence, please?
Yeah, go ahead.
You sure?
No, it's going to be the same thing.
How magnanimous.
Because you mowed the grass. Because we have a system where you mix your labor with nature, and that's how you have the claimant to rights.
Well, how do I know it's your ranch? Because you put up the fence. You built that house. You put your labor into this area... before anyone else did, and that's how I know that it's your ranch, and someone can't come along and say, actually, that's been my ranch the whole time, because I can go, no, that was nature, and then he put his labor into it, whereas with your system, it's just as legitimate to say, no, that's my ranch, and I have the bigger claim simply because I can defend it.
As opposed to, I have the bigger claim because I mowed the grass in the last 2 weeks.
I just have this thing in my head that I think if Richie Rich did have a ranch, it would be called Ranchy Ranch.
It would be Ranchy Ranch.
Ranchy Ranch.
Yeah. It's now going to be called that, yes.
Okay.
Right.
Very well.
So, like, yeah, the difference is, like, under your system, how are we supposed to figure out whose property to defend? Like,
because I claimed it. I said, from
and how do I know that they didn't claim it too?
From hither to yon.
And if the so well, how is it long whoever so how is long it whoever claims it first?
How long have they been an absentee owner of said unclaimed land? Like, does anybody in the community remember when little Bill was on the land and it was taken from him, you know, by the Indians or whatever? No. They only know that it's mine because for the duration of their existence.
So can I claim, like, that mountain range and then, like, well, they took this part from me and they defend that, so that part's theirs now. But the rest of the mountain range, still mine because I had the first claim.
We talked about this last week. You can absolutely do that. You can make the claim, and if you can get community buy-in.
And that makes no sense.
If you can get community buy-in, it's yours. If you can't get community buy-in, it's not yours.
Guys, we have to
and
take,
you can't even get we have table to take a buy-in call, so I'm gonna, between me and I'm the gonna, captain.
I'm going to pull a page out of Bonnie's book and go, okay, I'm right. You guys are wrong. We're going to move on now.
Ooh.
Let's go to this caller. I believe this is Rob in Vermont. Rob, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
Hey, Rob. These guys are in the middle of a heated debate. What's up with you?
Yeah, well, I know I've been sitting here, been listening, and I think that that both of those guys, it's a facile argument. Okay, for one reason, why would this gang of thugs want to take Richie's land?
Good question.
Because they want stuff.
They're going to take it regardless. If I mow the lawn or I don't mow the lawn, they're going to take it.
Because it's valuable ranching property that they can then make a lot of money off of selling the beef. Or because they think it's shiny. Whatever.
So with that being said, okay, that's only going to happen once. Because the rest of the community in that area, they're not going to put up with that. They'll hang them.
Why shouldn't they? If the new owner is more capable of defending the property than the previous owner, then why shouldn't they put up with that?
Because if they don't come to Richie's defense, those gang of thugs will take their property.
And they would have to defend it.
Okay.
Exactly.
How do they know that like, what makes this claim more valid than the other claim? Is it their ability to defend, or is it that you did something with it, and then someone came along later?
Once they take it, they also then have to defend it. It's not like, I took it and therefore it's my right, because I took it and mowed the grass, right? Now it's mine because of the grass being mowed. No, they also have to defend it. One single gang is not going to maraud across the prairie acquiring property unless the gang grows sufficiently.
They have a deed. Everyone has a deed to their property.
Yeah, I'm okay with that. I don't even care if by defense means you get property insurance and the insurance company sends out a band of thugs to defend it for you. Right?
Exactly.
I don't care. Third-party defense is sufficient.
You know, but if the community doesn't come to Richie's defense, that part of that community will start losing its land by these dang thugs.
If this community believes, as Richie Rich does, that the ultimate claim of a thing is very simply whether or not you can defend it, then they have no reason to go to his defense, because this is the new legitimate owner.
But they will, because they don't want to have to defend against their
land.
Well, then they don't believe that defense is the ultimate property.
They do. Because they're not going to let
them. Then why would they take away that property from its new owner?
Because he failed to defend it against the community.
And why should any one of them bother?
Because they don't want to have to defend it on their own.
Exactly. It's a facile argument.
I don't know what that means.
I don't think you're using that word right.
At least he knows what it means.
Well, maybe, All right. But I agree with Richie.
As you should.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Anything else on your mind tonight?
That's not the reason why I called. I have some exciting news to share with my Judeo-Christian brothers here.
You just saved a load of money on your car insurance by switching to Geico?
No.
Okay.
There's a brand new cannabis store open up here in Rockingham, Vermont. It's called Rolling Twenties.
Of course it is. That's better than the one that I lived near in Seattle. It was called The Pot Shop.
Clever.
Yeah. I was like, oh, you geniuses really put a lot of work into that name, huh?
They got to get stoned before they come up with names for their shops.
Their logo was a circle with, like, regular block letter stenciled The Pot Shop inside the circle. That was it. Very creative.
I've never been to any of these places.
If you're in the area of Rockingham, Vermont, go visit these guys. They got some good stuff.
Do you get a referral bonus? Like one free joint for every five people that come in and drop your name?
Problem. I can get all the weed I want for nothing. Because I go see the weed fairy.
Uh-huh.
I don't know what that means or what he's implying.
Rob, what do they have there? Do they have bud? Do they have edibles? Do they got beverages? What do they got?
Yeah, they got, bud, and they got some edibles, and I talked with the owner. I know who the owner is, and I suggested to get some drinks.
Okay.
You know?
Yep.
And they're going to try to make that happen.
Nice.
Yeah. You know, and a while back, somebody gave me a cannabis-infused drink. And so I took a picture of the can, and I saved it. So when I saw the owner, I said, this is the stuff.
Budweeder? Budweeder
Light? Was it watermelon or something like that? I don't know. I don't remember.
Yeah, I don't know either. So there's a joke about taking it in the can in there somewhere.
Okay.
Budweeder.
Nice.
Well, Rob, I hope you enjoy the medicinal and recreational qualities of said marijuana. And, hopefully the tax man isn't raping them as much as they are in, well, every other state that has opened recreational marijuana stores. Because I know for a fact that, at least in the Washington state area, they are taxed at least one-third at every level. So the grower gets taxed one-third, the distributor gets taxed one-third, and then the retailers get taxed one-third.
Well, neither myself nor the weed fairy get taxed.
Let's keep it that way.
Yeah, amen to that. Hey, thanks for the call, Rob. We appreciate you. 603-283-6160. Let's move on to this unscreened caller. What's your name, please?
It's your boy.
How did you not have that caller ID?
Well, it is. He's calling from a different number. He thinks he's clever.
Oh.
Yeah. But, you're on right now.
Clever boy.
You're on here, thinks he's clever.
From his boyfriend's phone.
No, it's your boy, the Evolutionary Cop. Say, I've been listening to your nonsensical property debate. You know why it's so nonsensical, this debate between Rich and the homeless mountaineer?
Because it doesn't involve evolutionary capitalism.
The homeless mountaineer? Wow, that's new.
Because you're omitting the very two things that are the essence of logic and motivation. It transcends even stupid praxeology. You guys are omitting...
Lay it on us, man. What are the two things? What are the two things?
You guys are omitting profit and evolution, and that's your problem. Because it all doesn't make sense. Defense doesn't make sense unless it's profitable, right?
No, not everything has to be done for a profit.
Just think about it. On a desert island, there's no humans, right?
Nothing has to be done for profit. Not everything has to be done for profit. That's why even in a capitalist system, you have what are known as non-profits.
Profitability and evolution determine sustainability. Like, if you're... Like, why would a society defend a property for somebody just because it's a sunk cost fallacy, right? Why would...
I don't think you know what that means. This is the second time you brought up the sunk cost fallacy, and I still think you're using it wrong.
Who owns it by... Would you make them stop interrupting?
I can't make them do anything.
Homesteaded something, expended resources to homestead it, right? And that is a sunk cost when you look at the past actions of
that doesn't mean it's a sunk cost fallacy.
Society for property.
Like, because I bought some collectible toys doesn't make it a sunk cost. It just makes it a cost.
No, I'm talking about homesteading.
I got it. Same idea.
Mowing the lawn, right? Or mowing the grass on our
right, but that's not the sunk cost fallacy.
That is
it's just a cost.
You look at something in the back where you look at past actions that you've wasted resources on.
It doesn't matter.
That should not determine on what you do in the future.
That's not the sunk cost fallacy.
Yes, it is. When you forget it. Let's just call it some other type of fallacy then, since you're too ignorant, okay?
It's not a fallacy.
Looking in the past,
it's just a cost.
Who homesteaded something is nonsensical when you don't look at profit. I would not help you defend that property unless it's profitable for society, because you may not like it, but the economy is a collective evolutionary machine, right? It cares about allocating property to those who best use it for society, and you have to grasp that in order to make sense of everything.
Yeah, well, it also, again, ignores the fact that some people will like to keep it pristine.
It doesn't matter if you want to keep it pristine.
It absolutely does.
Evolution only cares about, first, how it goes toward, okay, again, building the perfect evolutionary being. But that's evolutionary profit, right?
But no, but go on.
Let's just use monetary profit as a proxy because it's easier to talk about.
I'm not trying to make a profit. I'm attributing a non-monetary value to the pristine nature that's out there.
It's easier to quantify when you put a dollar on it.
You can't quantify it because it doesn't have a dollar value. It is a non-monetary value. It's emotional value.
Well, that's not necessarily mutually exclusive, though. So, like, okay, you like this piece of nature being preserved because, like, it's a joy to you to experience.
Right.
Now, in theory, there are people that are like you that you could say charge a cost to enter this area because of what an absolutely beautiful area it is.
I absolutely
now,
could.
If you were to do that, if you chose to do that, then we could have someone else who's doing the same thing, and whichever one of you is doing it better will make more money.
You're correct.
Off of offering that. And that would give us a numerical value to that psychic profit, as it were.
You could absolutely apply numerical value to it if that were my goal. That is not my goal, and it doesn't have to be my goal. I do not have to own property for the sheer benefit of profit. I can just have the property.
Am I muted?
Nope. Just ignored.
It
you should be used to that.
It doesn't matter what your psychic profit is. Evolution doesn't care about psychic profit.
Actually, it very much does.
Then it doesn't apply to this situation.
No, evolution very much cares about the psychic well-being of those who are participating in it.
No, it just cares.
Yeah, no. If you are more mentally healthy, you will be more capable of competing evolutionarily.
Say that again.
More mentally healthy, you will be more capable of competing evolutionarily.
No. There's a balance. Evolution molds your mentality. It molded all pleasure and happiness toward its goal.
Would you agree or disagree, Skeeter, that a less mentally capable person tends to evolve less than a more mentally capable person?
No, not necessarily. So I have
the only thing evolving from Skeeter is his ability to mate with the tiles on the shower wall.
It's called the parasitic effect or evolutionary compensation. When you have a deficiency, evolution kind of compensates by evolving that group faster because it has higher evolutionary pressure on them.
Okay, hold on, because I'm trying to grasp this concept. So right now we have a deficiency of quality callers, and so evolution has said that we're going to have to put you on the air.
That can determine that. So
I still don't know how it applies to my pristine piece of property.
No, it doesn't matter if you want to keep it pristine or not. Let's say there's the cure for cancer on that, but you have to... You have to demolish that land in order to get it.
They made a movie about that. It was called Medicine Man.
I don't care.
With Sean Connery.
It's old. Man, you're old. So, like, if you wanted to keep that cancer curing land pristine, society, evolution will fight you.
Yeah, they would. And I'd have to defend it, wouldn't I?
If you try to keep that land pristine, because the evolutionary profit of destroying that piece of land for that cure is greater than keeping that pristine. I mean, you could try to make a case that there's some other objective.
No, I'd have to find a way to defend it or pay for its defense.
You wouldn't be, because all the cancer, all the society would fight you on that to cure cancer.
Then I would lose the property.
Productivity.
I'm going to challenge
the people with cancer.
I'm going to challenge Skeeter to come up with a thanks for the call. I'm going to challenge Skeeter, if he's still listening, to come up with an example that isn't what we call edge or fringe hypothetical.
Even his hypothetical, if all of society is against me, they're going to take the property. I'm not going to be able to defend it against all of society.
Okay.
If I mowed the grass and all of society is against me, I'm not going to be able to defend that piece of property against all of society.
Okay.
Even though I put a sign up out front that says, grass has been mowed.
So
please don't steal my property.
So here's the idea in this particular example. So let's say that instead of just your version of it, because yours cannot be held consistent ultimately. Now, let's say we have something that can be held consistent, and we have a society that believes in the labor theory of property. Like, hypothetically.
Hypothetically.
Okay. Now, let's say I've planted this tree that has these cancer-curing properties, but I have chosen not to share the fruit of this tree with society because I don't feel like it.
They're going to steal it from you.
Maybe.
They're going to steal it
maybe.
From you.
No, so
not
at
maybe.
That point, no, at that point, they have to make a judgment call of would they prefer to have solid property rights, which allows them to benefit from their own labor, or would they rather have the cure for cancer?
They're going to take the cure for cancer.
Why wouldn't maybe. They instead try to negotiate?
Because well, he already says he's not going to
and
sell.
Here's the difference. This cure for cancer might be withheld from them, but by holding on to property rights, you can find other cures for cancer. Whereas if you destroy property rights, then people don't bother to do things that they would do because they can't benefit from that labor.
Hey, guess what? If they value that anyway, then it doesn't matter if I mowed the grass. They're going to respect that cancer-curing tree is on my claim, and they're going to leave it be because they value their claim. And it works the same way, except I can keep my land pristine in my example, and I need to mow my grass in yours.
Can one of you guys come over and mow my lawn this summer?
Yeah. Call Skeeter.
So the difference being,
he's got the mouth for it.
If it's simply a matter of who changed nature first, then we have an ultimate answer for whose property something is. Whereas if it is simply a matter of who can defend it, that can change from moment to moment, and there's no stability of property.
No, the stability is in the claim.
If I claim the claim is based on defense, which changes moment to moment.
And so does your mowing the grass.
No,
if they want
someone
to
did it first.
But they're going to take it anyway. Stick a sign out front.
603-283-6160. More Free Talk Live is coming your way. We've got more stuff to talk about, including the rest of this recap of the anniversary of the insurrection. It's Free Talk Live.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Update. We begin this Saturday morning with the weather this weekend. Let it snow. New York to see up to 12 inches of snow, while New Jersey and Connecticut expected to get half that amount, around 6 inches, as the Midwest gears up for possible blizzard conditions. Grammy award-winning singer Michael Bolton, best known for this song, How Am I Supposed to Live Without You, reveals he was diagnosed with a brain tumor and has had immediate surgery before the holidays. In a note to his fans, he says he'll be taking a break from touring to focus on his recovery. Bolton, who is 70, writing on Facebook, I am now recuperating at home and surrounded by the tremendous love and support of my family. And the Supreme Court will take up the Trump Colorado ballot case on February 8th. And I'm Laura Winters, USA News.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or injured at work, you have rights and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-524-3810. 800-524-3810. 800-524-3810. That's 800-524-3810.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
Says the same thing twice, it changes the meaning. You know, like when a girl says, was it a date?
Yep.
It's different than when a girl says, was it a date? It changes the meaning because she said it twice.
Yep.
Tribute. Do you like her or do you like her?
Tribute to Henry Cho. Anyway, it's Free Talk Live. We were talking about Henry Cho during the break for reasons. We go on tangents. We don't know.
Jolie Bonely from Bonego.
And then my guy friend came up and said, was it a date? And I said, yeah, it was a date. I spent money. I didn't even get a kiss. The telephone number here, if you'd like to join us, 603-283-6160. In the studio, it's myself, the captain.
Bakeless Mountaineer.
And Richie Rich.
Before we go on, I need to tell you that this hour of Free Talk Live is brought to you by Dash Digital Cash. Dash is the cryptocurrency designed to be used for spending. In addition to being one of the world's first cryptocurrencies, Dash was the first crypto project to have a decentralized, autonomous organization that to this day continues to improve and promote Dash. Every month, 10% of the mining rewards go into a treasury. Anyone with one Dash to spend can put forward a proposal to the Dash master nodes. The master nodes vet the proposals and decide which ones move forward and are funded by the treasury. Nowadays, DAOs are plentiful, but Dash paved the way by doing it first nearly a decade ago. Dash is one of the oldest cryptocurrencies and is widely available on exchanges, including the decentralized Maya protocol, and it's in multi-crypto wallets, too. It's easy to get and easy to use Dash. Start by learning more at Dash.org, and big thanks to the Dash DAO for sending us 32 Dash per month to promote Dash on the air. Visit Dash.org to learn more about Dash. That's dash.org. All right, we've got a couple of calls to get to. Let's go to this unscreened caller. What's your name, please?
Are you talking to me?
Yes, sir. What's your name? You're on the air.
Okay. This is Eric from California.
Hey, Eric.
And I just want to let you know they're playing a rerun of your show on our local radio station right now.
So much goofing off going on.
What's the station?
K-News, 98.5.
K-News, 98.
Yeah, it was the show when you guys were talking about hair metal and, like, the Taco Bell sex party.
Wow. That's some time ago, too. Interesting. Yeah. All right. We'll have our wizards check into that. Did you want to talk about anything while we have you on the air?
Well, I was kind of wondering, do you think it might have to do with when Bonnie had the hot mic right before the show the other day?
I've heard stories about this hot mic.
I've looked into that myself with some other wizards, and, you know, we've cast the appropriate spells to remedy that. However, we do have a network that's involved between us and the radio stations as well, so I'm having them deploy some wizards as well as we speak, so I do appreciate the notification.
Yeah, no problem.
All right. Hey, thanks for the call, man. We appreciate you.
A lot of screwiness going on tonight.
Strange things are afoot at the Circle K.
And elsewhere.
That's Bill and Ted? Or
yeah, that's Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
Okay, all right. Just making sure I get my cultural reference.
Rufus! Which is an anomaly, because they hadn't introduced himself yet.
Let's go to this guy. I believe this is Ricky on the Commonwealth.
Thank you there, Brother Captain. Brother Richard, Peakless Mountain there. Good evening.
Good evening.
No, I'm sitting here, and it just boggles my mind. Personally, I remember from the beginning, I'd like to know what rock Scuzzy crawled from under. I'd like to see him go back there. I mean, talk about radio you control. This is the truth. You will let just about damn near anybody on there, and I'm tired of hearing his falsities.
It's his mom's basement in California.
It may be. Oh, I don't know. No, this is the kind of guy that grows up to be a serial killer, like the Unabomber or something.
Well, then you should really thank us for, like, helping get rid of that nervous energy so that he doesn't go all Unabomber.
He's also admittedly got Asperger's. So
he's definitely an angry son of a bitch, and that's the worst thing. Half the time you can't even tell, you know, because he doesn't have a very good grasp of the English language, what he's actually angry at.
It's true.
Yeah. So, but he's got Asperger's and thinks he's smarter than everybody else.
Yeah, I'm sure he does. And you know what? That's something we should have a whole show on. You know, who's smarter than Scuzzy's smarter than everybody? How many think that? We could have a discussion about that one. I don't know if he'll call that.
But part of the realization he has to come to terms with is that if he's truly smarter than everybody else, he's got to find a way to communicate his thoughts better with us dullards.
Right,
he has failed at that at every turn.
I mean, he might want to look that one up in the dictionary and use falsity, because that's right where it's at. He's looking for, you know, and he could benefit from the product of an education, you know. But anyways, that being aside, Richie, you are the one I want to speak to, you know, because I want to finalize this bet. I think we made great progress with Bonnie. I think we can
finish
it tonight.
Yeah, we're 2 for 3 here.
So I've been advised by Peakless to just outright accept your third bet. And so I'm inclined to do that without actual numbers and definitions.
Because it is technically impossible.
So I accept your third proposition.
Plus, a third world country is pretty defining, and it's going to be pretty damn
bad. No, that's the thing.
Well, don't let him in on the secret now, Peakless. Jesus. Oh, no, go ahead.
We talked to him about this last week.
A
third world country is defined as, so it's not the first world, which is America, and it's not the second world, which is the USSR. That makes it the third world.
Right.
So America, by definition, is going to be the first world.
So I accept your five dash.
I mean, I could see an ounce of gold for a pack of Camelon filter.
That would not make the criteria for America being a third world.
I'd say it'd be a total disaster.
Okay, that's not how we defined it before.
What would you call that, Richie? That's oblivion, brother.
Well, we came to terms with third world. America would be the third world, and that's the latest part of it.
I'm gonna quit while I'm ahead. Okay, so let's seal the bet there. So I said I'll get that 150. Well,
5-15-.
At its current price in at the beginning of 2025. I said I'll do that.
No. Not 5- at the current price.
No, it's 5-. Richie, you don't think about anything but money. Of course I
No, I'm Richie Rich. That's all February. I think about.
Well, that's the problem. You know,
you'd think that Ricky had listened to this program often enough to know the answer to that question. No, Richie Rich only thinks about...
Wait a minute there. This whole land discussion. You know, I'm sitting here wearing my battle flag. There's one thing you're forgetting about, Richie. It's called the union. I think they take claim to the land. So in your case, unless Ricky from the Commonwealth blows it away and you move to the Commonwealth, Pennsylvania, I'd say it's completely pointless.
Well, no, it's not pointless because part of the part of my proposition is that those with claim to the land ought to defend it against government imposition. If a government agent attempts to take your land and you don't want them to take it, you ought to defend against it.
And then we find out whether your claim was valid on whether or not you're able to defend it. So this 5 minutes, my claim might be valid because I'm totally capable of defending it. And then 5 minutes from now, my claim is invalid because I'm unable to defend it.
Well, if they take it, then yeah. But again,
and then no one has any reason to help me get it back because my claim wasn't valid when they took it.
They absolutely have the help to help have the incentive to help you get it back because it helps them honor their own claim as well. That's the marauding band that comes through and takes everyone's land is going to be the government. And you have to put up a collective defense against their aggression.
Well, here's the thing, in all honesty. The fact of the matter is, you know, I have a concern, but it's not much of one because people aren't stupid. They understand. Now, when Ricky from the Commonwealth has the vessel, blows that damn bitch away, we become the Confederate Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, of course they're going to want the land, and they're going to come get it. But people aren't afraid of that. I will say in 17, they seem to be a little more leery, a little more guarded. Now people are more apt to talk openly in front of people and be in support of the concept. And I'd say that's very positive.
Which concept?
Blowing away the U.S. Constitution.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, and I'd say that's very positive. You know, I mean, everywhere I go, I will say they warm up to me because I am the one captain, no doubt.
No, I'm the captain. No, you look at me. I'm the captain.
I know you're the captain. I know you're the captain. You are the captain, no doubt.
I'm just kidding. I'm one of many captains. I come from a lineage of captains. Crunch, Kangaroo, right?
You know, Caveman.
Caveman. Yeah, these are all, you know, a long, long list of captains that came before me.
You know who I don't like anymore? Yeah. Captain Planet. What a scumbag that guy is.
I never liked
Turns
it.
Turns out.
I never liked it, Richie.
You were a smarter kid than me then.
You did. I can't believe
I was brainwashed as a child, man. It took some time to overcome that.
Yeah, little did I know that Captain Planet's ultimate job was just to sell me carbon credits.
That's right up there with the four food groups and all that garbage, you know? Yeah. That was my generation. But the fact of the matter is I'm glad we sealed this bet for 5-. It will be there at the beginning of 2025.
To be clear, 5- per bet. So the national gas average will be $10 or more, will be a minimum of $10, right? You got to put up 5- for that. The dollar value of the United States dollar will be effectively zero.
Okay, I understand that, okay. Richie. Okay, you want 5- per bet. You're
so it's 15 total dash, but it's not winner take all.
From the Commonwealth.
But it's not winner take all. It's 5- per.
Okay, so it's going to be each bet. Well, if you win the bet, fine. So if I lose one,
you can lose one and win two. Yeah.
Damn it, Richie, you're actually sounding reasonable. You're starting to scare me.
Isn't it impossible for him to win both of those two established bets?
Yeah, probably.
Because if the dollar spends for anything,
it doesn't matter.
Like, if the dollar has any value, that would be necessary for there to be at least $10 gasoline.
Not really thinking.
Whereas if the dollar's worth nothing, then gasoline can't possibly be $10 a gallon or more.
I have no qualms betting against morons.
Can one of you, let's go with Richie Rich, can you, for the people who just tuned in, can you summarize and restate this bet with Ricky from
sure.
the Commonwealth.
So there's five. There's five dash. We're going to each put five dash into Peakless's trust.
Okay.
At the beginning of 2025.
Peakless escrow near.
Yeah.
Okay.
At the beginning of 2025, the national average for gas, like the regular price of gasoline, will exceed $10. At the beginning of 2025, the value of the United States dollar, the Federal Reserve note that commonly referred to as the dollar, will be zero. Like it will have zero value.
That's not true. That's wrong. I said by the end of 2025.
Okay, fine. By the end of 2025,
gas price will go sky high in July.
Okay. By the end of 2025, national average of gas will be $10 or exceed $10.
No. July, Richie, July.
All right,
I'll
do it then.
It. July. July for the gas prices, and then the end of the 2025 for the dollar, and then the end of the
okay,
first
no, that makes more sense. So
the third world
by the end of July, okay. gas prices will be at least $10 on average throughout
July
the U.S.
2025 now?
Yep.
Whereas by the end of the year,
it'll be zero.
It'll
the
be,
dollar will
like,
fall.
You just won't be able to buy gasoline with dollars.
Okay.
Yeah, it won't matter anymore. And then by the end of the first quarter of 2026, we'll be a third world country.
Okay, all right. So is there three bets or just two?
Three separate
Apparently,
bets for five dash.
He wants to do it because he wants to line his pockets, but we'll see. He wants to make it up there, and I'll do it.
Okay, so who is on which side of what?
If gas exceeds $10 per gallon,
yes,
I pay Ricky.
Okay.
I say at least hits $10 even.
I got you. Go ahead, Richie.
Okay. If the dollar hits zero, and you can't spend a dollar on anything, I pay Ricky.
Okay.
And if the United States is a third world country, I pay Ricky.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
But if the national average for gas is below $10, and you can buy anything at the end of 2025 with dollars, right, shopping season coming up.
Yep.
There's just one thing you're not thinking
And the United
about.
States is still defined as a first world country or a second world country.
Right.
One is not a third world country. Then
the reason Ricky why I
me.
Put it the way that okay. I did, because when the dollar falls, it's going to have a big impact on Dash.
It might, but we're only betting in Dash. So
and
you ought to purchase your Dash.
When the dollar falls, Dash will be worth an extraordinary number of dollars.
And then just because I like to complete things, each one of these three bets is $5 or
five dash.
Not $5, five dash.
Got it.
Which Peakless will hold in trust.
Sounds like a deal.
When does the Dash go into the trust?
Remember it, Captain. Put it in your log.
Captain's log.
As soon as they give it to me.
Oh, yeah. When do each of you put your 5 dash or 15 dash, I guess?
I said before the beginning of 2025, let's say around February.
I'm pretty sure that I've already got it. I'm going to wait until Peakless secures Ricky's dash before I give mine to Peakless.
I'll get it.
All right.
I need time anyways.
Ball is in your court, though.
You ought not take time, Ricky. If your predictions are going to come true, the value of Dash is going to continue to rise.
Don't worry, brother. I ain't gonna take. And by the way, I've never used cryptocurrency before. This will be the very first time.
Okay. Nice. Well, I'm glad something good comes out of this bet.
Yeah, hell yeah.
No doubt.
This is great.
Isn't it, though? And I figured, why not a sponsor? You might as well. Plus, they do say it's the best for blind people. And I remember speaking to that man, and it sounds like something that's hip to me, you know, so why not?
Yeah, Riley is on, is he on Wednesdays? He's on either Wednesday or Thursday, I'm not sure. But he is able to use cryptocurrency and is a blind man, so he might be somebody you want to ask those questions, like what does he use, what app does he use, and that kind of a thing to do his transactions.
Yeah, I think I will just do that.
So he's pretty regular.
I'm going to start working that. And,
but enough about
his
Bellman.
We'll definitely do it. What's the deal then? It's done deal.
Sorry, that was a really crappy joke.
We made it.
Virtual handshake, Ricky.
It took three calls, but we made it.
Well, because I'm relinquishing the fact that we needed a definition for third world country.
I think it's bad enough, don't you, Richie?
Oh, that's a good question. What is a third world country?
No, we're not going to define it, because that's where we got hung up last week with Bonnie.
Right.
You can't define it.
What's a first world country?
The United States of America.
That's the only first world country?
Per Peakless's definition, and Peakless is going to be the arbiter and trust of the Dash.
It's going to be an economic disaster.
So then what's a second world country?
On biblical epic proportions, like this world has never seen.
What about
we are going to suffer.
What about like...
We will suffer, Richard.
Europe. If you will, like westernized, you know, I'm thinking Ireland and England and
this is a
Spain
question for Peakless.
It is going to be a big, I mean, crypto will go up, but also it's going to be a big problem because you cannot use cash to buy crypto. So it's going to be an interesting experiment right there.
That's why you got to use cash to buy crypto now while it's still possible.
I know, but it's not a very positive future. We're going to have a lot of experiments.
I disagree completely. I think this it's going to be a rough transition, no doubt. No doubt on the rough transition, but I think that this is the best possible way of getting to a decent future. So one of two things is going to happen. Either the U.S. is still going to be the great superpower, or it's not. Now, if it continues to be the great superpower, sooner or later, we're going to have a nuclear exchange. Because this superpower goes about seeking enemies to destroy and picking fights with other nuclear powers on the regular. Sooner or later, that will result in a nuclear exchange.
And at the end of this year, we're going to vote in Donald Trump, and by the end of 2025, America will be great again, and I'll win the bet.
Well, speaking of that, I do have all my battle flags, so, you know.
Cute,
I don't
is that
like
you?
Like, I mean, that's like a all of a sudden, Peekless and Richie became comedians during this segment, and they're pulling, like, my style jokes? They're like, what's going on here, man? Like, I didn't take any cold medication today that I remember, anyway. This is a little loopy for me.
I told you, 2024, return of the MAGA. This is it.
I'm still trying to figure out, you know, Rob's... You know,
A New Hope,
what,
the Empire Strikes Back,
for his weed,
Return of the MAGA.
What's that, Ricky? You're trying to figure out Rob?
Rob gets his free weed. I mean, how come only Rob, what has he got going on there?
Okay, I don't know the answer to this question, but let's just think about this logically for a minute.
Same way Bob Saget got his cocaine.
He grew it?
Oh, my. This is Rob from Vermont we're talking about. Like, it's not Bob Saget.
I can make fun of Rob, too. Jeez.
Like, if I had no money... But I had some land, and I had some seeds. How could I go about, you know, getting what I wanted?
Okay. Captain, don't even make me want to think this way. And it's on the radio, too, so I don't even want to think about that.
Yeah, all right, fine. What else did you want to talk about tonight, Ricky?
No, I just wanted to say that I love Brother Ian, and I hope that he, you know, comes back, you know, and he'll be back for 2025 because it was originally him that I spoke about when I made the predictions.
I do want to say I did get a chance to speak to him briefly a couple of days ago, albeit I was a little loopy on some fresh medication, but he is doing fine. He's keeping himself very busy. He's got himself a schedule. He's got tasks. He's got, you know, he's like, actually, I got to go, dude. I got something else I got to do. Like,
he's
going to
come out with a best-selling book, and he's going to be jacked for the first time in his life.
Yeah, I don't know, you know, is he writing books? Is he, you know, I have no idea, but, like, he's keeping himself busy. He's staying involved in the, let's call it the day-to-day operations behind the scenes of Free Talk Live somehow. He's aware of what's going on. He's keeping us abreast of changes that are upcoming and all
like
that
El
kind
Chapo
of stuff.
For Free Talk Live.
It's the greatest thing, but also the weirdest thing. But he did say that he has received a bunch of letters from everybody, all you listeners out there who've written to him, and he is very grateful for having received those. You know, he loves to receive those as well. He tries to communicate back to everybody, although it does take him a while. And he also says that sometimes the penmanship of some letters could use some improvement.
What a critic.
Well, but you know what? At least we are able to communicate with it. It's not like he's on lockdown and solitary or something. At least we're able to communicate in this, you know, that he... You know, we keep rolling this network that he created that is more important than just about anything.
Oh, yeah.
Because without this network, things wouldn't just be the same on the airwaves, no doubt.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more, and that's one of the reasons I continue to sit in this seat. It would have been real easy post-first Fed raid or second Fed raid for Free Talk Live to just sort of be like, well, I guess they put us out of business. Or I guess they took out the, you know, the guy who created the thing, and like, oh, you know, it would have been real easy. But I'm not built that way, at least for my part, in keeping this thing alive. To me, Free Talk Live is a beacon of hope in a world of crap. It is, you know, it used to be to me that it was like, oh, my gosh, this is how we're going to change the hearts and minds of people. But I realize now that that is not the best strategy. The best strategy is not to try and change the hearts and minds of the regular people. The best strategy is to simply attract people who have already come to the conclusion that statism is evil and needs to go the way of the dodo.
Well, we all love Brother Ian for this wonderful network that he's created, and nobody can say that more than enough on the airwaves.
I wonder how that makes Mark feel.
Well,
he's the co-owner.
He's been on Thursdays pretty regularly, and okay. I'm hoping to have him on one of the weekend shows coming up here pretty quick, so we can ask him.
I get it. He just gets, like, no credit.
Yeah, but how are you supposed to compete with a martyr?
Yeah, that's fair. All right.
Yeah. He does claim to be a king as well. So,
okay. Ricky, he's sort of thank John you for the comment at this point. Yeah, so he deserves it? All the press.
Okay.
He is a self-proclaimed intergalactic space king?
Not anymore.
No?
I actually took up that title.
Oh, well then what is
he is, time? However, an intergalactic space wizard.
Oh. I really...
It's more democratic, I guess.
Talk to butterflies?
Wizard, though? Like...
Space butterflies.
Space butterflies.
I guess
so, you know, in Dr. Doolittle, there's a moth that goes between Earth and the moon.
Okay.
Those.
All right.
I guess I'm used to using the word wizard in referring to, like, technician or... You know, a smarter guy than me.
The only butterfly I want to talk to is the one on her lower back.
Brittany?
That's a wide variety of sources to choose from, man.
I'll take them all.
There are so many tramp stamps out in the world.
Just the butterflies.
That are just the butterflies.
Okay.
What about if it's on the ankle, though? Because there's a lot more of those, I think, than the tramp stamp, the small of the back. No?
Nope.
What about the back of the neck?
Nope.
No,
very peculiar on this one.
What if it's a large butterfly on the small of the back?
That's fine.
What if it's a small butterfly, but it's
a butterfly,
but it's a large back?
Maybe not. Less likely to have a conversation with that butterfly.
All right, just checking.
But you never know.
You know, we got to figure out where the limits are.
You can't always eat steak. I'm always down for a hamburger.
We got to figure out where the limits are, you know. What's the definition here, right? So, you know.
If it's on his back, absolutely not.
Wow. Wow.
No matter what he says.
What have we done? We have created a monster. We still haven't really talked about this article from, where is it from anyway?
Epoch Times.
It was the Epoch Times. The explainer of the January 6th insurrection.
Still not going to.
A coup d'etat. A revolution? Question mark? That first Wednesday in January 2021, however, was none of the above. We'll talk more about this, plus more of your calls and thoughts and whatever the heck else comes up. It's Free Talk Live, 603-283-6160.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Are you curious about what might be missing from your diet and supplement choices? Take a free health assessment to identify your possible nutrient deficiencies. As a certified holistic health coach, I will help you assess and prioritize a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.